In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
What's up, guys? Today, it's about 4 o'clock here where I'm at. It's a little late for me when I normally do these Facebook Lives. But today, I was reading some stuff and thinking about being a paramedic student or an EMT student and, you know, dealing with rotations. And a lot of people struggle with this. They get very nervous about it. And I don't think there's a 100% right or wrong answer in a lot of it. You know, a lot of times, guys, when you're doing this type of stuff, it ends up being really your first interaction, right, with paramedics or doctors or nurses or whatever. And a lot of these people, depending upon where you're at, they're not getting compensated, right, by your program. So to them, you might be a burden for the day, and others might see you as somebody to use as a kind of a gopher. Go get me coffee, get me lunch, right? So for you, in order to succeed, to me, is starting up and making a great first impression, okay? You got to be prepared and be on time. Don't ever be late, guys, okay? And for me, on time, 15 minutes more than the start of your shift, all right? Not 2 minutes before your shift starts, okay? Try to give yourself 10, 15 minutes before your shift starts to show up, okay? And don't arrive late, guys. And late is actually any time after your start time, all right? Come dressed as you're supposed to be dressed. Bring any kind of identification, paperwork, instructions, books, whatever you're going to need that your program tells you to bring with you during your rotation, okay? Keep in mind, whether it's your first day, your second day, your 10th rotation, as time goes on, you're going to be expected to do more. Your responsibilities are going to be more. Your permission to do stuff is going to be bigger, right? So make sure that when you're going to these rotations, you might only have one primary preceptor, right? Or maybe you have two or three of them, depending upon what program you're in, okay? But when you're doing that, let them know, okay, how you're being updated as you go on, okay? Let them know that, hey, now I can do IVs, or hey, now I can do a full patient assessment, or whatever the case may be, right? So when you get, that's what it's important to get there 10, 15 minutes early to kind of go over this stuff with them, okay? You know, and if it's your first time, guys, when you get to a rotation, try to introduce yourself a little bit, all right? Give them a little overview about you, okay? You might think they might not want to hear that, but giving them a little bit of an overview of yourself, I think, is really going to help them understand where you're coming from and also give them an idea of what you're about and what they can expect from you, okay? Let them know that you appreciate, you're appreciative of them being your preceptor and sharing their knowledge with you, okay? Guys, speak with confidence, but be humble, all right? And always, always be teachable, okay? When you're completing the ride along, at the end of the day, don't get comfortable, all right? Kind of being cocky, right? But take the initiative at the beginning of the shift as well, all right? Check your equipment without them telling you to do it. Ask the preceptors important questions and ask them to share their experiences. We all love telling stories, right? Ask them to share theirs about something you might have been wondering about, okay? If you work in a place where it's like a station type environment, make sure you help out with the station duties, okay? Then when it's done, you can sit back and wait for the call. Don't lie down or anything, right? But you can sit back, wait for the call to come in, okay? And let them know that you're ready to respond. Maybe you're gonna read some of your books. You're gonna read, study a little bit, okay? Ask them the questions. Like I said, engage them in stories, right? But let them know that you're ready to respond, okay? You know that before that first call comes in, ask them what's expected of you. What you don't want to do is just kind of be very quiet, not say anything, and then a bell rings to go on the call, and now you have all these questions, right? Try to get the questions out before it rings, okay? What's expected of you, what you can and can't do, let them know, all right? It's going to be make it for a much, much more smoother experience, all right, when you start to actually go on the calls, okay? And like I said, you can sit back, wait for the call, but just make sure you have some expectations. What's expected of you? What's expected of them? How you can kind of fit in to the call, right? That whole flow of the call. Ask them what's expected of you. Listen, the first, second time, you're going to be nervous. You're going to be kind of on the fence, not quite sure where you fit in, right? But this is why you're asking questions. And of course, as time goes on, you're going to be much more comfortable, okay? When you get that positive attitude, guys, and you kind of see what's expected, right? Because one preceptor might have a different way of doing things than another preceptor, right? Knowing certain things, you know, and having that attitude is going to help you, okay? Have a mutual respect for everybody, okay? Get that, kind of find that common bond with them, right? They were all students too at one point. They did ride-alongs too at some point, right? Have that understanding of what's going on. And also, like I said, be teachable. Always be humble, guys, and be teachable. Listen, when you get that first 911 call of the day, of your shift, right? Be prompt in your response. Don't lollygag out to the ambulance, right? But don't be crazy. Don't go running out there like a maniac and open the doors and sit down and buckle in, okay? Don't be hasty over it, okay? Get your thoughts in order. Think about the call you're going to, right? You're going to know the call type. Your preceptor most likely will say to you, hey, we're going to this year-old person complaining of this and give you any details they might see on the computer, right? Start thinking about what you would do while you were alone, right? If you were by yourself on this call, all right? When you get there, offer to carry the bags, all right? And try to be the first person in the door after the preceptor, after the paramedic that's in charge of the call, okay? And after a while, you're going to be the primary one handling the call, right? After, depending upon your program, when you're going to be in charge of things. And then you're going to be the first one through the door. And that's when you got to make sure that you are the first one through the door so that your preceptor now is going to have that role of being a coach, a mentor, right? They're going to be the other medic there watching what you're doing, making sure you're not making any mistakes, guiding you, pointing things out to you. No matter what happens, guys, when you become the primary thing, try to make sure that you are always the first one in the house and through the door whenever possible. Listen, guys, another thing I suggest, at the end of each call, or at least at the end of the shift, all right, try to do a debrief with your preceptor. Go over the calls, what you did, what you saw, what they did, what they saw, what they think you should have done, but always try to listen more than talk, right? No matter if what they're saying to you might seem right, it might seem wrong, don't fight with them, don't argue with them, okay? Keep in mind, there's always some truth in whatever it is they're bringing to you, okay? Maybe it's not coming out right. Maybe it's not coming out the way you might agree with. But if you take a moment and you listen and then you kind of digest that afterwards, I think you're going to find there's some truth in what they're telling you. Don't argue with them unless, of course, it's a dangerous situation. At that point, you're going to have to say something to them to make sure that they're aware that maybe it might be dangerous. And if it's not and something you felt, of course, it'll be explained to you at that point, okay? Usually, it's not just you and your preceptor. There'll be another medic or EMT there that's going to also help you as well. And when something's going on like that where it might be a dangerous situation, they're going to step in, right? Now, listen, at the end, guys, when you leave that shift and it's time to go home, again, like I said, show your appreciation, guys, okay? You don't have to go buy coffee. You don't have to buy lunch. You don't have to buy snacks, right? There's no need for that, and there really shouldn't be any expectation of that from your preceptor. Like I said before, paramedics, especially the good ones, they love to share their thoughts, their experiences with students, but they also don't want to be somebody who's always pulling things out, okay, pulling things out of you, right? So if you just sit there, don't say anything, you don't do anything, right, don't expect them to be forthcoming with information and with stories and with advice, right? You've got to be that positive force behind that experience of being on the truck as a paramedic or an EMT student, all right? Guys, I hope this makes sense to you. Like I said, this is just kind of some of the stuff that I'm thinking and some of the stuff that I've read and things that I think might be important in ways for you to have a better experience when it comes to clinical rotation. So, again, there might be other tips out there that you can follow as well. you can go ahead and you know, locate that. I do have a free resource on the website about surviving paramedic clinicals. You can go check that out. But right now, go check out emsseo.com/DX. That's a differential diagnosis guide you can download. It's free, and it'll help you sort of with your patient assessments and things that you can be looking at when you're assessing your patients, okay, other than what they actually might have called for. Because not everyone that calls for chest pain is having a heart attack, and not everybody that calls for difficulty breathing is having an asthma attack, right? There's other things that might be going on. So this resource, this download is geared to help you kind of filter through some of that and get some of the differentials that you might be thinking about when you are assessing your patients. All right, guys, that is it. I hope this makes a little bit of sense. A little longer than I'm used to. We're at about 10 minutes today, so a little longer than what I normally post here on these Facebook Lives, but I hope that you can kind of take some of these ideas I mentioned about doing these clinicals, and it's going to help you when you get to your preceptor, okay? All right, guys, that's it for me. As always, I am Jim Hoffman from emsseo.com. Stay safe.